This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
David and Absalom.
Of all Old Testament characters, there is probably none more lovable than David the king. A poet, a philosopher, David was capable of heroic virtue and sudden falls from grace followed by deep repentance. Because it was of his line that the Messiah was born, because of his contribution to religious literature in the Psalms, because also of his very real spirituality, David is one of the great saints of Old Testament times. His life held more than the average of drama, both joyous and sad. Its tragedy was due for the most part to his favorite son, Absalom. It is the story of David and Absalom we now present.
It is about 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. David, King of Israel, and his wife are in a private room of the palace.
Oh, I'm worried, Bathsheba.
Oh, David, dear husband, you're too concerned about them.
Oh, but it is natural my son Absalom should have invited his brother Amnon to a feast.
It's natural Absalom should want to make a celebration of the sheep shearing. Why shouldn't he invite his brothers to his home?
Oh, but the old quarrel still rankles between them. They've barely spoken for years.
Probably decided to let bygones be bygones and make up with Amnon.
Oh, I wish I could think so.
After all large families have such quarrels among their members. I've known even children of one mother to disagree bitterly. And when half brothers attempt to live together, you can't expect perfect harmony.
But Amnon didn't want to go. Absalom insisted the party wouldn't be complete without him. I should have gone myself to keep peace between those two hot-tempered young men.
Enter!
Forgive me. Your Majesties, I bring terrible news.
What is it?
A messenger has just come from the home of the king's son, Absalom.
Yes.
I cannot bear to tell your Majesty what he says.
Amnon has been slain.
Even worse than that, Majesty. All the king's sons are slain by order of Prince Absalom. The messenger says not one of them escaped.
My son. Oh, my son.
You may leave us now.
I go, Majesty.
Oh, God, why hast thou cast me off? Why is thy wrath enkindled against me? Oh, God, have mercy on me. I cannot pray. I can only think of my sons. Slain by the brother Absalom.
Oh, David, my dear husband.
I should have foreseen this. I should have prevented it.
How could you prevent it?
Absalom was in the right in that old quarrel. Now he has stained his hands with his brother's blood.
Enter.
The king's nephew Jonadab is here.
Will you see Jonadab, David?
Let him enter.
Yes, Majesty.
My heart is heavy for speech.
I came as quickly as I could, dear uncle. The servants told me the message you received.
It isn't entirely true. Amnon only is dead. The others are safe and on their way home. All but Absalom.
What of Absalom?
After the murder, he fled, Uncle David. No one knows where he's gone.
Oh. I give thanks to the Lord that my other sons are safe. Yet I weep alike for Amnon and the one who slew him. Bid the servants come to me now and the other sons when they arrive. We will mourn together. O Lord, truly out of the depths I cry to thee. Lord, hear my voice.
Though the king loved Absalom above all his sons, Absalom had broken the Lord's commandment and the law of the state as well. David summoned the commander of his men-at-arms.
So you will pursue my son Absalom, as you would any other man guilty of such a crime.
And if we find him, Majesty?
You will bring him back to me for judgment.
And if we cannot take him alive?
You will... No, I cannot give you the order to slay him. You must only bring him back to me for judgment.
For 3 years, the fruitless search for Absalom continued. And then one day, as the king sat in the hall of justice hearing cases and passing judgment...
Save me, O king. Father of the people, have pity upon me.
Well, now what troubles you, woman of Israel? Speak. Speak without fear. Your case shall have a just hearing.
It is in this wise, O king. My husband has been dead for some time, and I have... Oh, alas, I had 2 sons.
Yes, the king is listening, daughter of Israel. What became of your sons?
One day they were working together in the field. They quarreled, and one of them slew the other. They were both quick-tempered, and there was no one with them at the time to speak sensibly to them, or I'm sure no such terrible thing would ever have happened. And for that reason, I can forgive my one son, though I know murder is a great crime against the Lord and man alike.
The murder of a brother is...
Did the king speak?
Oh, I was only thinking aloud. Continue.
But all our relatives formed common cause against me. They insist upon taking the life of my remaining son to avenge the death of his brother. I have been hiding the boy. They say I must give him up to them. I know his guilt, O king, but he's my son, my only son. And if he's killed, there will be none left to bear my husband's name, and I shall be childless.
Yes, I see. Return to your house, daughter of Israel. The king will consider this case further.
But our relatives will not rest until they find the boy. And when they find him, they will surely kill him. Even now, one of them may have discovered his hiding place. Oh, King David, you're a father. You know how love for a child fills a parent's heart.
I know what it is. To love a son.
Then give orders that my son shall not be killed. Send and warn our kin that you will punish any who attempts his murder. Be merciful, my king. Have pity on him and on me.
I have pity, Bertrand. I promise you, as the Lord lives and knows what is in my heart, your son shall receive the king's pardon and protection.
Oh, my king...
There, now, my child. Return to your home, comforted.
There is one more thing I would ask of the king.
Yes?
I would ask the king's permission to say something and his forgiveness for saying it.
You have both?
Then, O king, I have only told you a parable. I have no son.
You what? Have you tried to make... Sport of your king,
restrain
you...
Restrain your anger until I've finished, sire. Hasn't the king himself a son who's fled punishment for 3 years? A son who loved the king dearly? 3 years of exile and hiding are no small punishment. You would have granted mercy to me and my son. Won't you have as much pity for yourself and Prince Absalom?
The king must execute justice in his own case as much as the case of a servant.
But in the case I presented to you, King David, didn't your heart tell you that you were being just?
Yes, yes, that is true.
Then bring back your own son, King David.
I think I know who sent you to tell me this parable. Wasn't it my friend Joab?
Yes, it was Joab. He knows how your heart has ached during these 3 years that Absalom has been a fugitive.
Yes. Then you may return to Joab and tell him I have learned the lesson of your parable and taken it to heart. And if he can get word to Absalom, he may bid the prince return. I will pardon his crime, as I pray the Lord may also. And, daughter of Israel, your king thanks you for the great service you have done.
Later, on a day when David sat on the throne surrounded by his court.
Your Majesty, a young man seeks audience with you.
Yes, what is his name?
It is a name that has not been spoken publicly among us for 3 years. Without the king's permission, I dare not speak it now.
It is not my son.
It is the prince, Majesty. He stands outside the door weeping and begging permission to approach you.
Let him enter.
Yes, your Majesty. You may enter, Prince Absalom.
I prostrate myself at the king's feet. I dare not raise my eyes to the king's face.
Rise, Absalom. Rise, my son, and come into my arms. Oh, I have been sore at heart with wrong for this. Absalom, my son.
The following day, we find Absalom in the midst of a group of people at the gates of Jerusalem.
Gatesman. Yes? What's the price of admission to the city?
Well, it depends on the purpose of your visit. Oh, have you brought produce for sale, or do you come as a sightseer?
I come to plead my cause before the king.
Of what tribe are you?
Who is this man? What business has he to question me?
Hush, brother. That is the king's son, Absalom. Mind how you speak to him.
Forgive me, my lord. I did not recognize my prince.
Of what city are you?
Your servant is of the tribe of Judah.
You speak like an intelligent man. Unfortunately, the king has not progressed for the years, nor the times. Ah, how I wish he had wisdom to appoint some young person like myself to act as judge in his place. Then men like you would have a quick and sympathetic ear. At any rate, you may enter the city without paying toll. Admit him, Gateman.
Yes, my lord.
You're a worthy subject, the type of whom any ruler should be proud. You may kiss my hand if you wish. And when you return home, you can at least say that one member of the royal family treated you with some consideration.
David suspected that Absalom sought to gain great influence over the people. But because of his love for him, he refused to let himself believe it. For many years, the prince continued his efforts to gain favor with the tribesmen from beyond the borders of the city. Then he begged his father's permission to go to Hebron, where Abraham at first worshipped God, and there offer sacrifice. David readily consented. And a few days later...
I must see the king at once.
What is your business with the king?
Must I waste time explaining? I tell you, I must see the king.
What brings this man in such haste to our door?
Your pardon, Majesty. I did not see you approach. This man says he has tidings for you.
Yes, let him speak.
There is revolution, my king. Revolution in all the tribes of Israel. The king must save his life by flight until such time as his armies may be rallied and made ready for a stand.
Revolution? And who dares raise his hand against a king anointed by the prophet Samuel himself?
It is your own son, Absalom, my king.
My son?
He's long been plotting this move. He sent spies and agents into all the tribes. The signal was to be the sounding of a trumpet from Hebron. And when the signal was given, runners were to go throughout the country, calling his followers to arms. You grow pale, my king. Fear not. There are yet many of the people loyal to your cause.
The signal was the trumpet from Hebron. Then the story of his vow to sacrifice to the Lord
In the sacred place? Yes. The king and the court must flee from Jerusalem. Claudia!
Yes, Majesty?
Summon all those who are known as my friends and bid them prepare for flight. Their lives must not be endangered because of their loyalty to their king.
Absalom, with his followers, entered the city, and not even his father's own household was safe from their depredations. Meanwhile, loyal subjects gave the king food and shelter in his exile. Finally, David called to him his friend Joab.
So Joab, a stand must be made against these rebels. After all, I am the anointed king of Israel. I owe a duty to the Lord and to the people.
Then you order our armies to retake the city?
Oh, Joab, night after night I have lain awake trying to decide what I must do. I would not have my people's blood shed in defense of me. On the other hand, I dare not fail my duty as a king. Oh, dear friend, what do you think I should do?
Send your strongest army against Jerusalem. Take it by surprise. Put to the sword every traitor within it. My king, it was I who schemed to have Absalom recalled from his exile. Now I could bite from my mouth the tongue that pleaded his cause. He has proved ungrateful and treacherous.
He is my son, Joab. My favorite son.
And how has he returned your love? By betraying your confidence. By plotting against you.
Yes, and yet he is my son. Well, let's speak no more of him. What is your plan?
At dawn, we will surround the city on all sides. We will storm the gates. If they do not yield, we will demolish the walls. We will enter and put to the sword every one of the rebels.
And you will spare Absalom. Absalom.
David. David, long have I known you and long have I loved you. Do not imperil your rule for the sake of an unnatural son. We must slay this arch traitor if we can. Your own life will never be safe while he lives.
Oh, do not ask what I cannot grant, Joab. You may lead the armies as you suggest, but you will spare Absalom.
David himself would have joined the forces who marched against the city, but his friends reasoned that he must not risk his life without necessity, and their wise counsel prevailed. As David was pacing to and fro in his tent, awaiting news of the battle, a breathless messenger arrived.
Our forces are ready to attack. Listen, that is the signal now.
I think the Lord will grant victory to the troops of the rightful king. Yet my heart grieves for the suffering this day must bring to all Israel. Return and bring me further tidings as you can.
I go, Your Majesty.
In the Lord I put my trust. For lo, the wicked have bent their bow. They have prepared their arrows in the quiver. They have destroyed the things which thou hast made.
The forces of Absalom have been taken by surprise, my king. Already the loyal forces are inside the city.
Stay a moment. Can you find my friend Joab, who commands our forces?
Easily, sire. He is directing operations from the hill, only a stone's throw away.
Then go tell him to remember the command I have given him, to spare my son Absalom.
All day long the battle raged, and toward evening...
Oh, my king, there's great news.
Of what nature?
The city has fallen to our forces. It is said fully 20,000 of the rebels have been slain. Jerusalem is the king's again. He may return at his will.
Yes, and Absalom?
He has fled with his forces to make a stand beyond the city. Joab and his men are in hot pursuit.
Did you give Joab my message?
I did, O king.
And what was his reply?
He said nothing, my king. Only bowed his head to acknowledge the king's command and returned to directing the battle. Have I the king's permission to withdraw?
Yes, you may go. Oh, give ear, O Lord, to my words. Understand my cry. Hearken to the voice of my prayer, O my King and my God. Nay, I cannot speak to thee now. Even in the words that once came so readily to my lips when I used to play my harp and sing to thee. my heart holds only through the thought of my son and the grief of his treachery. The thought his treachery has caused me.
David took his place near the gate of Jerusalem and waited hour after hour for future news of the conflict. Is there no sign yet of a messenger, watchman?
Not yet, sire. But wait, in the distance I see a man running alone.
If our army were in retreat, there would be many men running. We are winning, then.
Sire, now there are two men, each running alone. Now the first one waves, and I recognize him. By his bearing, he brings good news, my king.
And yet I await his words with a heavy heart. We have triumphed. But as Joab remembered his promise. Oh, in the multitude of thy mercies, hear me, O Lord. Hear me and spare my son.
The first runner is even at the gate, O king. Where is the king? He is here, waiting your coming.
God save you, O king.
Rise and give me your tidings.
By the power of the Lord our God, the men who dared lift up their hands against you have been defeated.
Is Absalom safe?
Your pardon, Majesty?
Is my son safe? My son Absalom?
There was so much excitement when I left the field, I could not clearly see what was happening, Majesty. Perhaps some later messenger can tell you
the
more.
The king!
The king, I bring you. I bring you good tidings, my king. The Lord has given us the victory over our enemies.
And is Absalom safe?
My king, may all your enemies fare as Absalom has fared today. May God judge them as he has judged the traitor.
You mean?
But for the Lord's help, he might have escaped us.
Then he did not escape.
He did not, my king. It happened in this manner. Are you ill, my king?
No matter. I will sit down here on this stone. Continue with your story.
The rebels were in full flight, Majesty. And we were pursuing them. The prince was riding on a mule, which he lashed into a gallop and so fled from us into the forest. Some of our men followed as fast as they could on foot. But always the mule was before them, crashing through the underbrush. Then, all at once, they came upon the prince. His head had caught in the pronged branch of a tree. The mule had run on and left him hanging there, between heaven and earth. It was as if the very hand of the Lord God had made him our prisoner.
Yes, continue, but make your telling as brief as possible.
One of the soldiers ran and told Joab, who hurried to the place where the prince hung. And first, Joab stabbed him through the heart. And then, as he still lived, 10 of Joab's armor bearers also ran him through.
And so he's dead.
Then Joab said he would spare the multitude of the prince's followers now that their leader was slain. We have won a great victory today, sire. The king of Israel is safe from his enemy at last.
Yes. I thank you for bringing me your message. Go now and leave me alone.
Yes, your majesty.
My son... Would to God I might have died for you. Oh, Absalom, my son.